You know, sometimes I feel like my mind becomes overwhelmed with the circumstances of this world, that things around me cause me to get in the flesh, and I start thinking things that I shouldn't think, and you know, I start feeling certain ways that I shouldn't feel, and I just feel that somehow my soul has got out of joint. I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one. You feel that your soul is out of joint. You even though you're functioning, even though you continue to go from place to place and do thing to thing, just in your spirit, you feel that your soul has been disjointed.
Welcome to the Anchored in Jesus radio program. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. Thank you for joining us today for the conclusion of What Do You Have When the Lord Is Your Shepherd?
Stretches right here, right? Pharmaceutical, right? Divine pharmaceuticals is what we have. Now, you know, if you ever listen to a lot of the medication that they advertise on TV, you know, and they'll tell you that this can cause this, that, and it seemed like they start off with the mild symptoms first, and then this can cause loss of, and then they eventually get to the point where you can lose your life. You know, and these are earthly pharmaceuticals, right? But God provides divine pharmaceuticals. He is what? Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals us. And when we look at the pharmaceuticals that God provides, we see that it does a couple of things. The first thing we see that there is soulful healing. Soulful healing. I didn't say soul food healing. Soulful healing. What does he say in verse 3? He restores my soul. He restores my soul. We went through the book a couple of years ago, A Shepherd Looks at the 23rd Psalm, and some of the information I got from there. And one of the things that he talks about in this book, he talks about sheep being cast. And when a sheep is cast, what happens is that a sheep ends up on its back and can't get upright again. Now, there's a couple reasons why this happens. Number one, the sheep can lie in a soft place or in a little hollow place and lay down in that hollow place and not be able to get back up. Sometimes if the sheep has a lot of wool, that the wool will make it heavy and they will not be able to get back upright again. And sometimes sheep will gain a lot of weight. And so here the sheep is laying on the ground, and if the shepherd doesn't come along, guess what's happening? The sheep is open to all type of attacks by the enemy. So what does a shepherd do? The shepherd comes and the shepherd sets him back upright again, puts him back on his feet. I don't know about you, but I'll just be honest. You know, sometimes I feel like I slip away from God. You know, sometimes I feel like my mind becomes overwhelmed with the circumstances of this world, that things around me cause me to get in the flesh, and I start thinking things that I shouldn't think, and you know, I start feeling certain ways that I shouldn't feel, and I just feel that somehow my soul has got out of joint. I know I'm not the only one. I know I'm not the only one. You feel that your soul is out of joint. You even though you're functioning, even though you continue to go from place to place and do thing to thing, just in your spirit, you feel that your soul has been disjointed. And I thank God that when we get to that point where we are cast and we are laying on our back and the enemy can come and cause us to cuss somebody else out, the enemy can come and cause us to do some harm to somebody else, You know, we had a guy that gave a testimony yesterday at the boat ride, and he was talking about how that his life had got to a point where he just wanted to do damage, that he just wanted to do damage to somebody else because he had gone through so much. And then he turned on the radio program, and something that I said on there, watch this, don't miss this, that something that was said on there helped him to what? Restore his soul. His soul was disjointed, and he was thinking about hurting somebody. But he heard something that, set him back upright again. Thank God for Jehovah Rapha, that he is the God who restores our soul. There's this soulful restoration. But notice, there's also a spiritual healing that takes place. It says here, that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. What is that? That's spiritual healing. Marvin Gaye talked about another kind of healing. But we're talking about a spiritual healing this morning. God provides a spiritual healing. He leads us in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. The Lord leads us from the unhealthy road of sin to spiritual healing on where? The paths of righteousness. Oh, there was a song back in the day when I first got saved that I used to love to listen to. And it goes something like this. Foolish was I to wander away, forgetting the dangers of going astray. Following paths not made for sheep, on dangerous mountains, rugged and steep. Drifting so far from my own foolish plight, not hearing the shepherd's sweet song in the night. No staff for protection, no ringing of bell, no familiar voice saying all is well. 99, they are safe in the fold. I was that lost sheep, so hungry and cold. I am so glad that he found me in time, and I thank him for loving me like the 99. Thank him for loving me like the 99. He left the flock contented to stay, to search for the one who had drifted away. There in the night, what did I see? It was the kind, gentle shepherd. He was searching for me. No ravishing beast, no threatening storm can take me away from the good shepherd's arm. Now I am back in 2016 in the fold to stay. And I thank him for loving me and keeping me this way. 99, they were the safe in the fold. I was the lost sheep, so hungry and cold. Thank God that he found me in time, and I thank him for loving me like the 99. Thank God that he does what? He restores our soul. That whenever spiritually we drift, whenever spiritually we find ourselves off the road, that God what does what? He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. We have divine pharmaceuticals, Jehovah Rapha. We also have, according to verse 4, divine protection. Divine protection. And I like this too, Jehovah Sabaoth. Jehovah Sabaoth. And whenever you see in the Bible where it says the Lord of hosts, this is the word that's used, Jehovah Sabaoth. And what does it mean? It means that he is the Lord of the armies. He is the Lord, and we could take it a step further, not only of the armies, but he is the Lord who will fight our battles. He is the Lord that will go up before you and fight against the enemy. Notice there are four things that it says here about the Lord who is our protection. That first of all, there is a concerned protection. The psalmist is concerned. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So he's concerned. But tack on to his concern that he has a courageous protection. Look at this. I will fear no evil. And then he has a confident protection. Why? Because thou art with me. And then he has a comforting protection. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Wow. Look at that. A concerned protection. He was concerned about his protection. But then he moved from concern to being courageous. He moved from courageous to being confident. And he moved from, oh my goodness. He moved from confident to being comforted. What protection? What protection? You start out concerned. You start out, put that verse up there again. Psalm 23:4. You start out concerned. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. What was the shadow of death? The shadow of death was a poetical expression that was used to talk about the most dire and dark situations in life. That whenever you walk through the most dire and dark situations in life, you are walking through the valley of the shadow of death. So there's concern. But he said, even though I'm walking, what valley of the shadow of darkness are you walking through now? Just go ahead and identify. Are you walking through the valley of the shadow of darkness this morning? Well, praise God for your protection. Because what? You have a courageous protection. I will fear no evil. You have a confident protection because you are with me. And you have a comforting protection. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Oh, just think. Whenever you find yourself walking through the valleys, the dark, shadowed valleys, whenever you find yourself going through those, just go back to this 23rd Psalm. And remember those things. I'll fear no evil. What can you do to me? You can't hurt me. You can't do anything to me that God don't want done to me. I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. What do you have? What do you have when the Lord is your shepherd? You have divine protection. What's the next thing that you have when the Lord is your shepherd? We see that you have divine preparation. And so this leads us back to the first verse. Jehovah Roy, the Lord is our shepherd. That when the Lord is your shepherd, he prepares a table before you. When the Lord is your shepherd, he anoints your head with oil. When the Lord is your shepherd, he makes your cup run over. That when God is your shepherd, Jehovah Roy, the Lord who goes on. And I like, in verse 1, it's a participle. It's not even, you know, we say the Lord our shepherd. But actually, you know, that's a pronoun and a noun. But in the Hebrew, it's a participle, a verb. And you know what it says? The Lord is the one who goes on shepherding me. The Lord is the one who goes on shepherding me. He just shepherds me all the time. And because the Lord is my shepherd, I have divine preparation. Now notice the three things that we have here. And I'm winding it down. There's three things that we have here. First of all, we have an uninterrupted preparation. What does he do? He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. That's... this is the thing, there's so many ways I could go with this. There's so many ways I could go, but let me go this one way. Let me just go this one way, all right? That, can you imagine if you're a sheep, right? You got to do what? You got to eat the grass. So you get down, and you got to put your face down in the grass. Now, I don't know about you, But, you know, when I know when I go out and cut my grass, right? Back to my grass again. There's things out in the grass that you, that when you start cutting it, then, you know, a couple times you run into a snake. Last year, you know what I ran into? There was a mole or something in my yard, and it dug holes in it. And you know what happened? There were some bees that put a beehive down in the hole. Anybody ever had that happen? Yeah. All right, I'm not by myself then. All right, I'm not by myself, right? There was a bee's nest down in the hole. And man, you talking about somebody, man, when I hit that thing and them and them bees came after me, boy, I tell you, and they wouldn't leave me alone. I had to run in my house. But then I went to, you environmentalists, close your ears right now. But I had to go to Home Depot, Lowe's. I took care of the problem. But can you imagine a sheep down there and hit that bee's nest? Man, or the sheep down there and there's a snake in the grass? Or the sheep down there and there's something down there that bites them? And so what did the shepherd have to do? The shepherd had to go and put down something to make sure that there were no enemies, there were no things that would come back and be able to bite the sheep or disturb the sheep. And so a lot of times, the shepherd would put the stuff down there, and he would only let the sheep go to a certain place. And so as the sheep would go, and because there was some type of substance down there, the enemies would be on one side, and the sheep would go all the way up to that line. And the sheep would just be eating and eating and eating. And so what did David say? He prepares a... He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, that I can eat to my satisfaction and that my enemies are forced to witness my enjoyment. Come and dine, the master's calling, come and dine. And you eat, the sheep eats, and the enemies can only watch. He prepares the table before me in the presence of my enemies. And then he says, thou anoints my head with oil. And so there was a couple reasons why he had to anoint the sheep's head with oil. One was because of flies. Now, you know, that was the danger down low, but up high, sometimes there was flies. They would fly, and this is unfathomable, but it would happen. And the guy talks about this in the Shepherds Look at the 23rd Psalm. He talks about how that flies would get up in the sheep's nose and lay maggots up in the sheep's nose. Now, can you imagine that? Having maggots up in your nose, eating up into your, oh, man. And so the sheep would just go and it would drive the sheep crazy. And then it would disturb the rest of the flock. And so what did the shepherd have to do? The shepherd anointed the head. And so that the flies, they didn't bite, they didn't even light upon the sheep. Because he anointed their head with oil. And that when we anoint ourselves with prayer, with Bible study, with the Holy Spirit, that when Satan tries to come and lay maggots in our life, that he can't, because we're anointed. We're anointed with the Holy Spirit. We're anointed with oil. He said that, well, I'm missing my use this morning. I'm missing my use, all right? Uninterrupted preparation, unmixed preparation, and then I like this, unlimited preparation. And that is, my cup runs over. That, you know, God doesn't fill our cup halfway, but he allows our cups to run over. The Lord, our shepherd. You know, you heard the story, and I'm sure, I think it was in the book too, about the custom that they had in the Middle East at this time. That if you had a guest come by your house, that you were obligated to feed them and entertain them. And if you enjoyed the company, there was one thing that you could do. But if there was if you didn't enjoy their company, and you know it was getting along to be evening, and if they needed to be moving on about their business, what you would do if you say it's time for you to go, they would take a cup, turn it over, and then they would begin to pour water or some substance in there, and they only filled it halfway. I'm not trying to give anybody any ideas today, right? I'm not trying to give anybody any ideas. You know, there's other things that we do in the 21st century, right? You know, there's other things. We have technology and other mechanical things that we can do to let people... No, I'm just kidding. So if you filled it halfway, that meant, hey, it's time to go. Yeah. And so the guy would look and, you know, can you imagine sitting there? Like, come on, man, come on, a little bit more. It's time to go. But if you wanted the guy to stay, and you enjoyed the fellowship, and you enjoyed the company, then what you would do is that you would fill that glass up, and then you would not only fill it up, but you would let the liquid flow over to the sides. And that's where he said, my cup is overflowing. That means that there's a welcoming, there's a presence of welcome in the presence of the Lord, that I feel welcomed. That's that unlimited preparation, unlimited. And then finally, we come to the last one, and we call that divine pleasures, divine pleasures. And this is the name of God that we use here is Jehovah Shammah. And what does Jehovah Shammah mean? It means the Lord who is near, the Lord who is with us. And now, if God is with you, now watch this. The saints, don't miss this. If God is with you, according to Psalm 16, I believe it's verse 10 or verse 11. I can't remember which one it is right now. But it says, in his presence is fullness of joy. And at his right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So if God is with me, then I have divine pleasures. Notice what he says here. We have earthly pleasures. Verse 6, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's earthly pleasure, that you will have earthly pleasure all the days of your life. That if you are in Pittsburgh, that goodness and mercy will follow you. That if you get in your car and drive to Philadelphia, and you get out of your car and you look behind you, goodness and mercy will follow you. If you do like my wife and I did a couple years ago and get on a plane and go to Hawaii, when you get off of the plane and you look behind you, goodness and mercy will be behind you. He said that goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. I can think of no better pleasures to have than the Lord who was with me and the goodness and mercy that follows me. And then, I like this, you'll have eternal pleasures. You'll have eternal pleasures. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That I'm in the presence of God right now, but one day will come when I'll be in his presence, and I'll be in his presence forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. If you could put up that last slide. I like this right here. You might not be able to say it, but I'm going to read it. I'm going to read it because this is good. This is not original with me. I found it somewhere in my notes that I had, and I like this. The Lord is my shepherd. That's relationship. I shall not want. That's supply. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. That's rest. He leadeth me beside the still water. That's refreshment. He restores my soul. That's healing. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness. That's guidance. For his name's sake, that's purpose. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. That's protection. Thou art with me. That's faithfulness. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's comfort. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. That's hope. Thou anointest my head with oil. That's consecration. My cup runneth over. That's abundance. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. That's blessings. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's security. And forever, that's eternity. The 23rd Psalm. We thank God. What do you have? What do you have when the Lord is your shepherd?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Join us next time for the first half of Trials. He turns the darkest valley into the brightest day, from Psalm 23. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, What Do You Have When the Lord Is Your Shepherd? You can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request What Do You Have When the Lord Is Your Shepherd? Or you can call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view or download more than 400 teachings that are posted there. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, 15206. It is through your faithful prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews 6:19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and anchor for the soul. This is Dr. William R. Glaze, and on behalf of our volunteer staff, I would like to remind you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.